The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
The whole goal of that NPR tote bag and that NPR coffee mug was to be able to show that even though I go to a Southern Baptist university, I'm an NPR kind of person, and you're not.
There's just nothing in the pages of Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, that says that the weak should sacrifice for the strong. But that's what surrogacy is. It's always children sacrificing on behalf of adults. It's always children doing hard things so adults can have what they want.
Remember your baptism. That's our essential identity. Don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a black Christian. Well, you're a Christian who happens to be black. And this is what's going to endure forever and ever.
Yes, death will devour you. But no, it will not be the end of you, because I've made a path through death for you. Jesus as sheep is devoured. Jesus as shepherd, it conquers death and leads his flock out of death into eternal life.
Lutherans praying matins at the Martin plus Katie conference love Issues, Etc.
In 1985, the Beirut bureau chief for the Associated Press, Terry Anderson, was kidnapped by Islamic militants. They held him, moving him from place to place, really in terrible conditions, for 6 years. Well, the big story in journalism this week, Terry Anderson has passed away. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., live on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about media coverage of the life and death of journalist Terry Anderson. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We'll spend some time with the president of National Right to Life, Carol Tobias, discussing oral arguments heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court in an Idaho abortion case. And then Pastor Peter Bender will be alongside. We'll be discussing the Lord's Prayer. Terry Mattingly is senior fellow on communications and culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate, and for 2 decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You crossed paths with journalist Terry Anderson several times. We know that he went through a lot, obviously. How important was his faith in that ordeal, and how did the press handle that then and now?
Well, I need to be candid here. I heard him speak 3 times. And 2 of those times, including one that was less than a year after he came out, one of the first speaking engagements that he did, I heard him tell his story, and he was speaking in both cases to an audience of journalists who were part of a network of Christians who worked in the mainstream press. In one case, there were people gathered there from all over the world. And so I'm sure that that affected what he said and how he described things. At the same time, though, he was hanging around. People were talking with him. We ate meals with him at the conference. And then I heard him speak another time at a school in South Florida. And that speech was a week after 9/11, which made the timing jarring, to say the least. They weren't sure he was going to be able to get on an airplane and get down to the speaking engagement. And then another time I just called him up and we talked by telephone. So I had 4 contacts with him, and I admit that my contacts were framed by issues of faith and religion. I'm a religion writer. So this is the rare week where we're talking about how the mainstream press covered Terry Anderson. And at the same time, the middle of this morning, I shipped a column where I shared some of what Terry Anderson had to say. So I was very familiar with some of the practical details he cited in the timeline of his captivity. I was less familiar, frankly, with his struggles with post-traumatic stress syndrome and how that affected him, and some of the other ways of what he would publicly admit was his brokenness, how that affected his marriages and, you know, and his just life, which seemed to stabilize again toward the end of his life, according to his family. But I never heard him talk about his life without discussing his Catholicism and the role that faith played during his captivity. So I think our listeners would be interested, would they see coverage of the death of Terry Anderson? I think what you want is to contrast the amount of material that's in the story about his faith, if it's mentioned at all, and especially his faith and how it affected his captivity, with the other subjects that the journalists have chosen to write into it. And I'm well aware that this is a man, as a journalist, he was the face of a decade that Time magazine called the decade of captivity, of captives. I mean, he was the person that, if as a young journalist, that we all followed his case all the time. I mean, we were constantly seeking updates. And in Washington, D.C., a circle of mainstream journalists formed specifically to pray for Terry Anderson. And that evolved into a global network of Christians in the mainstream press that invited him twice to speak to them. And those were two of the occasions where I heard him. So it's all about, if you're going to put one or two sentences in a story where you mention his faith versus a long, long obituary in the New York Times and on the long story for the Associated Press. He was a legend of the Associated Press, so you know AP is going to do a major story and had an obituary probably waiting to be updated because he was a legend in their organization. We can talk about what the details are there, but for me, the phrase that I would lock in on, it's more than a phrase. It's a couple of paragraphs in the New York Times piece where it says, you know, while he had not been tortured during his captivity, he said he was beaten and chained. He spent a year or so off and on in solitary confinement, he said. By the way, I heard him talk about torture, and he specified that they did not torture him deliberately, but I think being driven around town, chained on the underside of a truck chassis, is probably not a super pleasant experience. So here's the key, it quotes, "There is nothing to hold on to, no way to anchor my mind," he said after the ordeal. "I try praying every day, sometimes for hours, but there's nothing there, just a blankness. I'm talking to myself, not God." He found some consolation in the Bible, though, and added, "The only real defense was to remember that no one could take away my self-respect and dignity. Only I could do that." Now, I heard him talk about the loneliness and his difficulties of praying. But there was, "I prayed every day, sometimes there's nothing there." That does not describe how Terry Anderson described his evolution, his development of his faith while in captivity. And the key here is that soon after he was captured, and his life was in turmoil before he was kidnapped. He was in a relationship that was breaking up. You know, he knew that, you know, his girlfriend was pregnant. He was asking really hard questions about himself as a man. And yes, his Catholic questions about his kind of latent, abandoned Catholic faith was in there. When they captured him, one of the first things he did, and I heard him say this three times, one of the first things he did was he demanded that they bring him a Bible. And he knew enough about Islam that he could say, "We're people of the book. You're supposed to respect me as a Christian because we are people, we share some elements of our faith. And in Islam, Judaism and Christianity have a different status from other world religions because they're people of the book." And they brought him a Bible. And I heard him one time when I was talking to him, he said, "You know, I can still smell the, I can close my eyes and smell the leather of that Bible, you know, when I opened it for the first time. And here's a detail for you. Let's ask listeners if they have seen this detail in any coverage about Terry Anderson. Anderson said that while in captivity, he read that Bible from cover to cover 50 times. 50 times. And by the way, he said, the more I read it, the more questions I had about it, which led to another crucial part of the timeline. So let me read one of my favorite Terry Anderson quotes, which was from a conversation with him. Soon after he got that Bible, he learned that another captive in the circle of hostages that he was a part of was a Catholic priest, Father Lawrence Jinko. And he pled with them for him to get to see Lawrence Jinko. And they spent quite a bit of time together and worked through a lot of things. And Jinko heard Anderson's first confession. Anderson said, my first confession in 25 years. And at that point, he considered himself back in the Catholic faith. Now, here's the key quote. I still had plenty of questions about the Bible, Anderson told me during a 1999 global conference for Christian journalists in Chichester, England. Then, after Jinko was released, I was locked up with a seminary professor. That hostage was the Presbyterian missionary Benjamin Weir from the Near East School of Theology in Beirut. I love this quote. I needed a priest, and God gave me a priest, said Anderson. I had Bible questions, and God gave me a New Testament professor. And I jumped ahead a little bit later in that quote. I realized that God had not abandoned me. Now, does that mean things are easy? Does that mean he's not suffering? Does that mean he's not angry? But if you know anything at all about real people and real believers, that quote, I think, kind of rings true, that this was a process that he lived through. So that was another of my long, rambling answers to your question. But the key is read the stories about his death and look at what the stories say about his faith and the words they use. And I think you'll basically find politics is real, war is real, hostage taking is real, religion, not so real.
So let's go from, let's say, worst to best. Can you give us an example from the major news outlets of what you just said?
Well, the Associated Press had a great, it's short, but I would say it's important. But, and this includes like two elements of what we just talked about. So when people ask me, and this is near the end of the story, when people ask me, you know, are you over it? Well, I don't know. No, not really. It's there. I don't think about it much these days. It's not central to my life, but it's there. Anderson said his faith as a Christian helped him let go of the anger, and something his wife later told him also helped him to move on. If you keep the hatred, you can't have the joy. Now, I don't know where they got that quote. He probably told that a number of times. But that was one of the main quotes that he said when I heard him speak a week after 9/11. And he was obviously talking about anger. And he gave a vivid anecdote, which I wish I had had room for in my column. He said that he had gone back to Lebanon to help shoot a documentary about his experiences. And he met while he was there with some leaders of Hezbollah. And he said that wasn't easy, but I did it, and it was essential. But the really painful thing that happened is one day he was sitting, listening to television in Beirut, and they were interviewing major leaders in the politics of Lebanon. And he said, suddenly I just sat bolt upright because one of the voices, I recognized it immediately. It was someone that I heard speak a number of times, and it was the man who ran the hostage-taking network, the man that he never knew his name. They only called him the boss. And now he was a major political leader. He says, and when I heard his voice, all that anger came back. All that hurt came back. All that pain came back. And I had to stare at myself again and say, am I able to do what the Bible wants me to do and forgive. And another quote that I wasn't sure people would understand perfectly was it said something to the effect of, the Bible doesn't demand that we love these people the way we love our friends. The Bible has a different way of talking about love, but we are called to forgive them to the best of our abilities. So I liked that ending to the Associated Press story. The BBC did a much shorter report. He's obviously a more important figure in American journalism than in the British world. But it talked to it about his friendship in captivity with the Church of England envoy, Terry Waite, who had been taken captive by the same hostage. And years later, Waite came back to Lebanon and tried to negotiate the release of Terry Anderson. The two of them developed a secret code for tapping on the wall when they were both in solitary confinement to be able to tell each other how they were doing. Both men endured, I'm reading from the BBC now, both men endured being chained, beaten, and threatened. Anderson, who spent much of the time blindfolded and was forced to sleep on a thin, dirty mattress on the floor, later recalled that he, quote, almost went insane, unquote, and credited his Catholic faith with saving him. Now, that's a single sentence in a fairly short report, but I think that's a very vivid paragraph. And I think that is exactly what Terry Anderson said in the times when I heard him speak. His regaining his faith, saying confession, reading the Bible, and trying to become active as a Christian again under the worst possible conditions, that he believed it kept him from going insane. And that's another way of phrasing this that I think our listeners should look for.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the life and death of journalist Terry Anderson. We'll talk more about some of the media coverage next.
This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, Aaron Wren of The American Conservative, and others for the 2024 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
You know, when you see a cross, how can you not think of Christ? When you see a symbol, how can you not think of eternity? When you see a triangle, how can you not think of the Holy Trinity?
Edward Riojas, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Each of these things, they just underscore not just scripture, also the events of Christ's life, what we believe.
Learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Memoria Press is a worldwide leader in the publishing of classical Christian education. We have everything you need for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and our materials can be used in any classroom setting to suit your needs. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 to save $5 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The best approach to symbolize God the Father is by showing just his hand. By showing the Father's hand only, the symbol plays very well with Holy Scripture, which comes to us through the hand of God, as is expressed in Isaiah 48:13, "My hand laid the foundation of the earth, my right hand spread out the heavens," and elsewhere. That's from the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, a complete guide to Christian symbols. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order a complete guide to Christian symbols, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the life and death of journalist Terry Anderson. Terry, what can you tell us about some of the other major news coverage?
Well, I was thinking as I read it, the simple fact that obituaries are hard to write. And I've always thought that when you're dealing with the life of really complex people and people who went through a lot, an obituary almost tells you as much about the publication as it tells you about the person that the obit is written about. Terry Anderson once told a group I heard him speak to that one of his goals in life was that he hoped to live a life where his captivity in Lebanon would be in the second paragraph instead of the first. He said he knew that was impossible, probably, but that was just one of his goals. You know, that could I accomplish anything else in my life that would at least get mixed in there with that? So, I mean, obviously, the captivity, the longest, I believe, that anyone endured before escaping or being allowed to leave, obviously that's the event of his life. But whether that captivity, the realities of it, whether you focused on how Anderson described that experience and what was surrounding him, or other issues. I mean, for example, I noticed which one of the stories, I think it was the New York Times, that devoted more, I counted them, more words to the Iran-Contra scandal than they did to his Catholic faith. When the Catholic faith, you know, he said, according to the BBC, and I heard him say it as well, that it saved his life, in his opinion. It kept him from going insane. So I want listeners to think of this when they read it and try to think of other really complex people that they've read stories about their death. And I mean, you take someone with a life that was as complex as someone like Pat Robertson, someone that I didn't, frankly, I didn't do a lot of writing about him because he was an interesting man, but it was not interesting in the subjects that I was most drawn to cover as a reporter. I read a lot of stories about Pat Robertson that never mentioned that he grew up in Washington, D.C. I believe the son of a senator. And he knew Washington culture inside out, whereas many of the stories about him just kind of made him sound like some sort of, you know, wild religious guy that didn't have any sense of reality about the world at all. You can disagree with Pat Robertson on a lot of things. I certainly did, but he grew up in Washington. He knew Washington culture. He had an Ivy League law degree, if I remember correctly. When people read obits about someone whose life they know well, reading that obit can either make them trust the media less or more. I don't think the obits for Terry Anderson were all that unusual and not necessarily horribly bad, but they certainly are revealing.
You actually have a quote, I believe. It doesn't come from Anderson. It comes from someone else about being a Christian and being a journalist.
Oh, yeah. That occurred while he was in captivity with the Presbyterian teacher, theologian, Benjamin Weir. Weir asked him, "How can you be a Christian and a journalist? Let me call up my column and let you hear how Terry Anderson answered that question. I mean, that was a rather haunting question. He told this audience in England, "The search for truth is not in any way in conflict with the truth that I know as a follower of Jesus," said Anderson. "But you know, you cannot be a Christian and a bad journalist." That didn't work at all. You cannot practice Christianity and a journalism that takes away dignity, that has no compassion, that exploits pain and misery. That's not good journalism, and it's certainly not anything that Christ taught. Now, the context for that quote, Anderson was talking at length about, even before his captivity, the struggles he had as a war correspondent, where he would walk through absolute disaster, people lying around wounded and suffering, dying or dead. I mean, you imagine what a war correspondent sees, or what a man who's in a nation torn apart by terrorism sees. And he talked about his struggles, that sometimes to do his job, he had to just walk by those people. And I remember him saying, "If someone asked for water, I would give them my water bottle, but I only had one water bottle. Handing out water bottles wasn't my job. My job was being the best journalist that I could under the situation." He said, "But that experience was one of the many things that I asked about my own life and my own attempts at faith and my own work as a journalist." In fact, Anderson, in that same presentation, I believe, he went on to say that thinking about Weir's challenge to him, how can you be a Christian and a journalist, led him to a variation on that question. What is it that God wants of us as journalists? Nothing more than what he wants of us as people, as Christians. He wants us to love him and love our brothers. I jumped ahead in a long section of quotes. As Christians, we're supposed to witness for good and against evil. As journalists, he said, we're supposed to be doing the same thing. Now, needless to say, I didn't have a chance to talk with Terry Anderson in recent years about how he feels about some of the trends in journalism. I'm not saying I know where he would have stood on that. But do those quotes sound like someone who was seriously wrestling with his own faith and his own vocation as a journalist? And then he went into classrooms and taught journalism for several decades. To me, that's some pretty nuanced thinking about faith and journalism. And once again, that's what I chose to focus my own column about his death. That's the subject that I chose to focus my work on.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow on Communications and Culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate, and for two decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. You can subscribe to Terry's Substack newsletter, Rational Sheep, on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
When we come back from the break, it's time to talk about oral arguments heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court in an Idaho abortion case. Carol Tobias of National Right to Life will be our guest.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hello, This is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools